Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners. I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road. And today I'm going to be continuing the series, hashtag The Struggle Is Real. Now that we're getting to the end of this message, we are finally getting to the place. We've covered a ton of ground. We are getting to the place where we can talk about the victory that we have in this struggle. To recap this series just a little bit, so far we have looked at how unseen does not mean unreal. That's where we kick this thing off. And we talked about how in America especially, most people don't give any thought to the spiritual realm. They don't consider whatsoever the fact that there may be something beyond what we can see, which is having an impact in our everyday lives. And then we talked about our enemy, the real enemy that we face. A lot of people think about the devil, and they think about a guy with a pitchfork and little horns, and they're like, well, that can't be real. And so, yeah, maybe there's a force that's evil, but there's not a real person who's against us. But we debunked that lie in that message. It's very clear through all of Scripture, and it's clear even in life experience, that there is an enemy who is simply out to destroy us and separate us from God. We then talked about how the battle must begin in our minds. We have this spiritual battle. We talked about how it's there, and we said, where do we start? We have to start with our minds, with discernment. How do we think about what is going on behind the scenes? Are we aware of it? Are we praying for it? Are we fighting against the lies that the devil is putting into our mind? And because of those lies and the enemy that we have, we then move to Ephesians chapter 6, where we have the great story of the armor of God. And we talked about how God has given us his own armor for us to put on to protect ourselves in this battle, how we have this goal to stand firm against the enemy by putting on the armor that protects us from his darts, by holding tight to our faith, by putting on the helmet of salvation, by wielding the sword of the Spirit. We're able to fight against these attacks. But we have a choice in putting on this armor. We have to choose to put it on by doing the simple things of knowing the gospel and believing it, by standing firm in our faith in Jesus, by reading the Bible and knowing it so well that we can use verses to fight against the enemy when he tells us lies. But if we choose not to do these simple things, then we essentially are going into the battlefield naked, was the illustration we used. And the choice is up to us. Are we going to prepare ourselves for this battle, or are we just going to say, oh, it doesn't exist, it's no big deal, I don't need to do those things, and I'll just live this life however I think I need to based on what I can see and what I can think about in a modern way. But I'll just put that spiritual stuff to the side. That would be fighting naked. And last week, Pastor Brent talked about how prayer changes absolutely everything. And he encouraged us that we need to be praying in the Spirit, not led by our own sinful nature, but having this communication and praying the things that God lays on our heart. We need to be praying consistently, persistently, and intensively, because prayer, reaching up to the power of God Most High, is this opportunity that we as believers have, that the rest of the world's like, oh, I don't believe in that. Why would you pass up this opportunity to reach up into heaven and say, Dad, I need your help in this thing? And then watch our loving Heavenly Father come through and answer that prayer. So you can see we've covered a lot of ground as we've talked about this battle. And today I have the privilege of sharing with you the good news that our victory in this battle against the enemy is assured. The Bible tells us all over that we have victory in Jesus. And that's why there's so many books then that are published every single year. Tons and tons of books are published telling us that we have victory. And so the Christian bookstores are filled with these books. They tend to be bestsellers. They're in the Christian living section. Sometimes they even call the section the victorious living section because we can have victory. And I love these books. I pick on this guy a lot. He's got a great smile, incredible hair. I'm a little bit jealous. I think that perhaps we would have more people in our pews if we put Brent's face on everything that we did around here. Maybe not. My favorite book on here is Every Day's a Friday. Guys, no matter what you're going through, you just need to live like every day's a Friday. We all love Fridays. Friday's payday. So we want to have every day be great, every day be easy. Be a better you. If you think better, you can live better. You can, you will. That's what victorious living is. This is what the books sell. They peddle this stuff that says, you know what, if you just think about it the right way, then you too can have a smile like this guy because life is so great. The problem is, book titles like this and the idea of experiencing victory in the way that is peddled through these books seems incredibly trite when your child is fighting cancer for the third time. Feels incredibly trite when your spouse unexpectedly passes away. It feels so ridiculous to say every day's a Friday when you're lost your job or when you're constantly sick, when you're taking your seven-year-old to inpatient at the psych ward at Mercy because of mental illness. These are situations that have happened in this church in the last month. And for me to stand up here and say, just live with a smile, Christian victory, it seems ridiculous. But we have to, does that mean that our victory is assured is a false statement? That's not the case. Our victory is still assured. But we have to add to it. But it may not look like what you expected. And so today my goal is to define for you what victory in Christ looks like in a way that all of us can say, yes, I can still live this victory. No matter what I'm walking through, no matter what my pain, no matter what my situation, I know that I can still have victory even in that situation. And so today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. But before I read the text to you, I need to back up and recap a little bit of what goes on in the book of Romans. So Romans is a letter that the Apostle Paul, famous guy, wrote to the church in Rome. And in this, he really lays out the entire doctrine of salvation and sanctification. And so he describes how sin came into the world through Adam, but then ultimately our forgiveness, all of sin is erased and cleansed from us by one man's death, Jesus Christ. He talks about the struggle then that as Christians we say we follow Jesus and we're forgiven by his death on the cross, but then we have this sin that's trying to overpower us and we struggle with that. We don't know what to do. And he says, well, you need to live by the Spirit. Stop trying to live according to the law and follow all the laws because that's going to screw you up. You need to simply live according to the Spirit and follow after that. And then as he continues writing, he says, but even if you do all these things, you're still going to have struggle. You're still going to suffer. There's still going to be persecution for following me. And what's so beautiful is as you look at Romans, he's really describing the battle that we've been describing in this series. He's describing the struggle that every single Christian for all time has been wrestling with. And now we get to chapter 8, verse 31, where everything kind of turns a little bit here. In chapter 8, verse 31, Paul essentially, he kind of becomes like the captain of a battalion, and he's given a pep rally to the troops before they're about to go out to battle. Some would say that this is the high point of the entire book of Romans. Some might even say it's the high point of the entire New Testament. And I want to try something a little different with you today. Normally we put the full text on the screens. I want you to just close your eyes and let me read to you this passage from Romans chapter 8. And I want you to hear Paul's words to every person who is fighting in this invisible war. He says, what then shall we say in response to these things, this struggle? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? Nothing in this battle, nothing that you do or nothing that you fail to do, nothing Satan throws against you has the power to separate you from the love of God. Let that soak in. Nothing can separate you from this Creator Almighty who loves you so much. Now, being who I am, I love text. I love the Bible. I have to walk you through this text. Now we'll have it on the screens. In verse 31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? We have to understand, God, Creator Almighty, says, I am for you. I am with you. I am fighting on your side. Does that mean who can be against us, that there's nobody that's actually pushing against us, that there is no struggle? I think we all know that's a false statement. We feel the struggle in this life. But compared to the infinite God who is behind us, nothing that you're facing can be compared. It becomes nothing compared to the Almighty God. Compared to the one that we have behind us fighting on our side, no matter what struggle it is that you're going through, it is nothing compared to God behind you. Then moves on. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. We have to remember, we have this God. Not only is he this big, powerful God who's willing to fight for us, he's already shown us how far he'll go for you. He's already shown, because he gave his own son to die for each and every one of us. We don't have to doubt, well, does God really want what's best for me? Yes. He gave his son for you. Why would he do that and then withhold what you need now in the middle of your battle? That makes no sense. And that's what Paul's saying here. God already showed you. He's willing to go as far as you need to provide you whatever it is that you need to get through this battle. He's willing to do it, and he's proven it by already giving us his son. Then we move to verses 33 and 34. Who will bring any charge and who will condemn are these two questions that are asked of us. And I love it, because who will bring a charge? He says, it's God who justifies. God is ultimately your judge. The God that we just said is for us, the God who gave his son to die for us, he's the one who sits as the judge. Do you think he really wants to say guilty? Absolutely not. And then even better than that, the son that he gave for us, to die for our sins, to wash away all of our mess, to open up the way for us to be made right with God. That son, Jesus, he's not still dead. He's alive, this text tells us. And he's at the right hand of the judge, interceding for us. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's saying, God, this one's not guilty. All the guilt, all the shame, all the mess, it's gone. It's washed away. I took care of that, God. There's no reason to judge this person, because I have taken care of it for you. And that's why, who condemns any of you? We know, we've already talked about, Satan loves to accuse us. He loves to whisper lies in our ears, and we sometimes believe those lies. But what this text tells us, who condemns you? No one. Satan tries. Sometimes we falsely believe it because we don't know any better. But this tells us nobody can condemn you, because Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. Have you messed up? Yup, we all have. But the fact is, before you even screwed up, Jesus had already forgiven that sin. He'd already washed that slate clean. There's absolutely no accusation that Satan can bring against you that stands in God's court of law. Nothing. So these accusations, this battle for your mind, it's already won because God is your judge and Jesus is your advocate. You don't have to worry about these accusations that come up against you. Now, knowing all this, Paul asks what I think is the big question here. In verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" First, I have to make an aside. Who shall separate us? Do you notice that us piece? We keep talking. This battle isn't just an individual battle. We battle together. We battle as a unit together. We support each other in the battle. Never feel like you're doing this alone. If you feel like you're going alone at it, then understand, I need to bring somebody in because we have a battle together. That's the us in this statement. But who shall separate us from the love of God? I think this question actually defines the entire war which we've been talking about. You see, this entire invisible war has always been about trying to separate you from the God who loves you. That's what it's all about. When we were preparing for this message, we have our message community we talk about every Monday. A few of us get together, we talk about this message, and I ask the question, what is this battle against? What are we fighting against? And we look through the scripture, and scripture tells us that we fight against sin. We fight against evil. We fight against temptation. We have a struggle against death. We fight against even Satan himself. But this exposes, when we look at this verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's not all these things. Yeah, there's a lot of things we fight against, but they all share a common thread in what they're trying to do. All these things that our battle is against, they all are trying to separate us from the love of Christ. That's what the war is. Separation. Defeat is finding ourselves outside of God's love. Victory is remaining in God's love. When we're fighting this fight, the fight isn't about having it all go great. The fight is about staying in God's love, in the love of Christ. And so the question is, what can separate us from this? And yeah, the way that sin and evil and temptation, they work to try to separate us, is they try to overcome us with temptation. We know that. We have the alcoholism or the shopping and the materialism or the anger inside of us that we know we struggle with these things, and so we have this temptation to keep getting us in these areas to overcome us so that we fall to the sin. And then it works out great when we start falling to the sin over and over and over. They try to get us to feel guilty, to feel shame. You're not good enough. You keep struggling with this. You don't measure up for what God wants out of you. So you may as well give up. God couldn't love you. They whisper those lies. They try to harm us through the evil actions of others. Other people treat you unfairly and you're like, what on earth is that? Why are you doing this to me? This isn't fair. God, why is this person treating me this way? Why am I being persecuted like this? God, do you even care about me? They try to break us in the death of a loved one, a grandma, a spouse, an aunt, an uncle, a best friend, somebody that, even if it comes too early or it's the end of their life and you saw it coming a long time, it still hurts. And it's in those moments that you start to hear, yeah, God doesn't love you. This doesn't matter. All this is meaningless. There's all these different ways that these things are trying in this battle to separate you from God's love. But the question that Paul's asking here is, can these trials and troubles you face actually separate you from the love of God? The verse continues really with the rubber meeting the road. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? Paul's essentially making a list, just like I made a list earlier in this sermon, of all these hardships people in our congregation are facing right now. Paul just made a list of the hardships that he had recently faced. These are all things that Paul talks about in his other letters, facing himself. But it's a rhetorical question. He's saying, no, There is nothing, no matter what I've gone through, no matter what you're going through, is any of that so big, so bad, that it actually shows that God's love has left you? The answer is without a doubt, no. The verse continues, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is actually a verse out of Psalm 44. After the Israelites have been slayed by lots of enemies coming in, Jerusalem's fallen, and they've written, for your sake we face death all day long. Why is Paul bringing in an Old Testament text here? It's to remind the folks in Rome, you know what? All these things that I've gone through, all these things that you're going through right now, they're not new. You're not facing anything that God's people haven't faced for thousands of years. The same thing's for us. No matter what you're going through, and I'm not trying to belittle what any of us are going through, we all have stuff that's hard. And even if right now you're like, I don't have any stuff, you can think back to a time you did, and you know that in the future you're going to again. But it's not new. This has been going on and on for thousands of years. Life is hard, and we're hit in the middle of this battle. But none of these trials and none of these troubles have the power to separate us from God's love. Now, at this point in the passage, I need to stop, because I think we have a few misconceptions in the church in America today about what the battle's supposed to look like. And Paul's kind of painted, while he uses rhetorical questions in the text to this point, and he says, do hardships and danger and the sword, famine, nakedness, he's asking those questions because he's faced those hard things. He asks the questions, if God is for us, who can be against us? He knows that there are actually things that are against us. He says, who condemns you? Because he knows that everybody faces this condemning of maybe other people around you or the enemy in your ear. He's asking these questions because he knows we're all experiencing this struggle. Okay? But in America, we've kind of created, maybe it's because of the books at the bookstore, and that's why all the bookstores are going bankrupt now. I don't know. But we've got these misconceptions, the first one being that when you become a follower of Jesus, when you become a Christian, you're going to be protected from all the troubles. And just because I say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, some people think, well, why is my life still so hard? Why am I still having, you know, losing my job, having the conflict in my marriage? Why isn't everything getting better all around me? Why do I still have this difficulty? Why didn't the struggle just go away? Because we were never promised that it would go away. Worse yet is if people have thought that they expect to be shielded from all the troubles, all the trials, when these things keep coming, as I've said before, they don't look at who to blame, the enemy. They say, God, what's wrong with me? Why aren't you protecting me? God, you're supposed to shield me from all this. And so the misconception of this prosperity gospel, that when you follow Jesus, when you say all the right prayers, everything goes well. When it doesn't go well and you get that call from the doctor that says, actually, the tests are bad. They're really bad. You need to come in and see me right now. We go, God, what happened? You screwed this up. Do you even exist, God? And we doubt God's existence because we had the wrong thinking about what the struggle and the battle of our life is going to be like. Remember when I told you there's lots of verses that say we have victory in Jesus? Almost every single one of them talk about the struggle that's part of the victory. None of them say, hey, you just have it easy. John 16:33, I think, is a great example. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. He tells them, in this world, you will have trouble. Not might, not maybe, not occasionally. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He's saying, you're still going to have victory in me. I've overcome it. But that doesn't mean it's going away. Every single one of us has trials. Every single one of us has stuff that we're going through that's hard, that's unpleasant, that we wish we didn't have to experience. But we can't go around asking God, why me? Early Christians Brent found this in a book. Early Christians never asked the why me question. This is actually kind of a newer thing where when we go through hard things, we say, God, why are you doing this to me? And the reason the early Christians didn't ask this question is because they knew if it wasn't this struggle that I was going through, then it'd be another one. They just expected life is going to have struggle. So it's either this or that, but I'm not going to say I expect no struggle. That's just part of life. So we need to understand the victory is assured, but it's not a victory from trials and troubles. It's victory in the midst of the trials and the troubles that are guaranteed to be coming at you. Second misconception is that while we may experience hardship, with God's help, we're going to get through it unscathed. We've got this idea in our mind that we can essentially walk through fire in the battle without getting burned. We've got this picture of the soldier that we think about. Like, oh, they go to war. We've got this picture of the soldier walking through the fire. Here he is, he's got his gun, he's got everything. He's just blown up the enemy behind him, and he's doing the Rambo walk out of there, like, hey, I just took care of everything. But that's not what battle looks like at all. The reality is, the struggles and the battles of this world are going to leave us looking a lot more like this picture. This is a picture from the new movie Hacksaw Ridge that I just saw last week. It's an amazing movie. You got to be okay with gore if you're going to watch it. But you look at his face, you see in his eyes, he is exhausted. He's been up all night long. He is filthy. He is bruised. He is battered. And he is bleeding. But this is what the battle looks like. You're not going to go through it unscathed. He doesn't have the face maybe of what we think of in victory, but this is what it looks like, and we have to understand that. In the movie, there are guys with their legs blown off. There are some who don't make it in the battle. You know what? At the end of the movie, they take Hacksaw Ridge after fighting over and over and over, but they get there. And it doesn't look great. It's not the soldier just walking through the fire. It looks more like this, and we have to understand, as we go through it, we're going to take our lumps. We're going to have some wounds. Some wounds might stay with us for a long time or maybe even forever. They might alter our character a little bit, but that's okay. God uses those things to refine us. He takes all the junk, and he uses it for his good. That's another amazing verse in Romans chapter 8. You should read the whole verse. The third misconception is that we think that we're going to win every battle. Like I was saying in the movie, they don't just say, hey, we're going to go take the ridge, and they go and they take the ridge. No, they go up, and they take it for a night, and then they get beat back down. Then they go up, and they take it for a night, and they get beat back down. They lose a lot of battles before ultimately taking the ridge. There were other battles all through in World War II where, you know, we lost battles. We didn't win every single time. We know we won the war. We look through our history books and we say, no, we know we won the war. But there were a lot of battles that didn't go our way the first, the second, or the third time. And in those moments where we're knocked down in battle, where we find our victory every time that we get back up again. That's where our victory is. We don't sit down in defeat and go, God, I just got kicked in the teeth in this situation. I can't believe it. God, you said you were going to give me victory. How did this happen? We weren't guaranteed to win every battle. The victory is when we get back up and say, God, I know you're still with me. I'm going to put my armor back on, and I'm going to go back out and do what I know you want me to do. That's where we find the victory. When we remind ourselves of God's love, which can absolutely never be taken away from us, even when we feel like we're sitting in the midst of the dirt going, how on earth did this happen and how am I supposed to get back up? I saved the best for last today. There was a couple more verses of this passage. And so before I finish, we've got to come back to one of my favorites. It's verse 37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love that we're more than conquerors. We're not just victorious. We're not even mere conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Our success in this battle is greater than we can even comprehend. But the success isn't because of us. It isn't because we are amazing fighters. It isn't because we figured out a way to get through the battle and navigate it through our wisdom. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And here's the key to our victory. Here's why we know that our victory is assured. It's because it doesn't rest on any one of us. Our victory isn't based on our own strength, our own willpower, our own holiness. Our victory is completely rooted in Jesus. You see, it was Jesus who 2,000 years ago dealt the emphatic blow against Satan when he hung on the cross for you and for me, beaten and battered on the cross. That was the sign of victory for us. That is when all the sin, all the shame, our fear of death, and being separated from God was all wiped away. And we can say, yeah, I'm going through the worst thing I've ever gone through, Ryan. But we can still say, but I know I can have victory because I have Jesus. And Jesus has guaranteed me the victory. It may not feel like victory in the moment. I get that. There are a lot of days in my life where I've had tough stuff and I wake up and it's not like I feel, whoo, I got victory in Jesus. It's like, okay, I can get out of bed and I can face another day. I can do another day to fight. That's what I got in me. But that's the victory. It's in knowing that no situation you're going through can separate you from the love of God. We see this incredible picture of Jesus winning the victory in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, where we see, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan thought he got the big win. He thought he had the W. He's got the Son of God hanging on a cross, killed by the people he came to save. And yet, this is the moment that Jesus kicks Satan in the teeth. And he says, this battle is over. Now, we say the battle is over, but we have to understand we're in the here but not yet. Yes, Jesus has dealt the final blow, but the battle's clearly not over because our lives aren't easy and perfect yet, are they? We're waiting for the perfect to come, and the perfect is going to come. Revelation, there's a whole ton of verses. I didn't want to bring any of them specifically in here because they talk about some weird stuff, the burning fire and the this and the that. But here's the bottom line. When you read through the book of Revelation, there is a final victory where Jesus takes Satan. He takes all the principalities and the evil that's been trying to knock us down and to separate us from God's love, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire for all of eternity. And we will get to live in the perfect world, in the kingdom of God. We'll no longer have the battle. We'll no longer have the struggle. And that day is coming, and that is why we are assured, because Jesus has told us so himself. However, in the middle of this, we have to continue to fight, knowing that our victory, like I've said, is rooted in Jesus. That's why we can be so assured, because it's not resting on us, it's resting on Him. And so all we have to do to experience the victory is to stand firm in Christ's love. In Ephesians chapter 6, when we were talking about the armor of God, the big point there, it said it three times in the opening of that section, was stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. You're going to go through it. Put on your armor, take your blows, and stand firm, and know that nothing that comes against you can separate you from God's love. Nothing at all. I have one last image that I want to leave you with. I saw this, it was a book laying in the office. I started flipping through it and I was like, this picture is perfect. It's of a lady in World War II. She had a bunker that saved her life. So in World War II, those in London were clearly, they had Germany dropping bombs on them every single day. For the people living in London, this was a hard thing. If you talk to Tony Baker, he had a place like right next to where he was, totally blown up while he was a child. They didn't feel like they were winning the war. They felt like they were losing battles. But there's this amazing picture of this woman with a smile. Because you know what? she made it through the night. Her bunker got her through the night. She's able to crawl out. She's able to face another day. That's the picture of what it is for us as we're going through this stuff. We have a bunker. We have our shield, our defender, our protector in Jesus Christ. We simply need to cling to Him. He will see you through it. And the very last verse of this passage, where I'm going to leave you today, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced, we have to believe this, folks, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what the victory looks like for us today. It looks like believing that God loves you, even when it feels like the entire world is falling apart all around. Victory is not neat and clean and easy. Victory comes with battle wounds. It's hard fought, but it is absolutely assured.